This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. Debt has a new face. It's very young and very worried. This week, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York reports today's average student loan debt is $25,000. Another survey by Fidelity estimates the college class of 2013 will graduate owing more than $35,000 in federal, state, and private loans. And student debt could have a big impact on the broader economy. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says it limits borrowers' willingness to take on new financial obligations, like buying a car or a house or starting a small business. Well, those are the numbers. Now let's get down to the emotions. Having to pay back tens of thousands of dollars after graduation, that can be downright scary.
Did you get my message?
I got it. I don't understand. You've been out of school for over a year. Are you at least saving?
Saving how, Mom? I'm working 55 hours a week. I'm exhausted. I've got tens of thousands of dollars of student loans. I've got my car payment. It's like, what am I supposed to do?
I'm sorry, Kay, but we think it's time you handle this on your own.
I really hope that's not my daughter in a few years. And what is this poor girl supposed to do? Our guest, Betsy Mayotte, has some answers. She's the director of regulatory compliance at the nonprofit organization American Student Assistance. And that clip you just heard is from their new mock horror short film called The Red. It's part of a campaign to raise awareness about the problem of student debt. Betsy, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Well, let's take some calls. First up is actually an intern from your organization, Betsy. Your colleague Sasha is calling us from Boston, and Sasha is a 20-year-old senior at Emerson College. Hi, Sasha.
Hi, how are you?
We're great here.
Awesome. Okay, my question is, I'm currently enrolled in college, and I'm looking to start making extra payments to my student loans while I'm in college. And I have both federal and private loans of varying interest rates. And I was wondering how I should go about deciding which loans to start making extra payments towards.
Well, Sasha, Betsy knows your story, but I would like to know a little bit more information. What are you majoring in at Emerson?
I'm majoring in writing, literature, and publishing.
Okay, so you're headed for publishing or perhaps journalism?
Hopefully, yes.
And how much do you owe?
I currently owe $78,000.
Ooh. Okay, Betsy? I imagine you've had conversations with Sasha before about this.
We have talked about it a little bit, but this is a new question. Now, you know, I'm not a financial planner. You know, Sasha, that I'm a student loan nerd, and that's really where my expertise is. But I do know that a lot of financial planners will suggest a strategy where perhaps you pay the highest interest rate debt down first. That would seem the most logical. Or others have a plan where you start with the smaller debts and add the extra money to the smaller debts, and then as you pay that one off, you add all that extra money to the next debt, and so on and so forth. In this case, my personal advice would be to suggest something a little bit different. I would focus on the private loans before adding the extra money to the federal loans. And the reason I say this is because federal student loans have a lot more benefits and options available to them than private student loans do.
What do you mean by benefits and options?
Well, federal student loans have 4, 5, 6, 7, depending on what type of loan you have, lower payment options. By benefits, I mean there are some deferment options where on some of the loans the interest wouldn't even accrue if you had to use one of those deferments. There's also some forgiveness benefits available. For example, Sasha, if you were to continue to work at a nonprofit organization and you worked there for 10 years, it's possible that some of your debt could be forgiven after that 10-year period.
Was that part of your strategy in working for Betsy's organization?
I had no idea about this until I started working for the organization, and then I started learning about all these forgiveness plans, and it's definitely kind of influenced my future career path.
I bet a lot of kids don't know about this, Betsy. Is that right?
I agree. Public service loan forgiveness is fairly new. The reason that Congress put it into place was to make it easier and to encourage people to plan their life knowing that they had this opportunity and didn't have to make the decision between the size of the paycheck versus public service passion.
So, Sasha, does that give you a start?
Yeah, it definitely gives me a start. It was very helpful advice.
Okay. Well, good luck with that journalism plan. And
thank
I hope you.
You
get lots of social media training and programming and some skills under your belt, because I think you might need them. But thanks for calling in.
No problem.
Well, she's certainly at the right job. I would think you would be a very popular place to intern straight out of college.
Well, she's really taking advantage of it, too, as you could see.
Well, I think you have to. I mean, I think it would have been a good thing if financial literacy were in everyone's back pocket way back when. But right now, with this kind of debt burden, I would imagine these kids really need to be up on this information.
Absolutely. And what we tend to see is people with higher student loan debt tend to lean towards what I call the ostrich effect, where they just, oh my God, the number's so big, I'm just going to stick my head in the sand, and they don't try to dig down into it and A, make a plan, and B, find out the details of what that debt consists of.
Well, let's take another call. We have Dylan on the line now from Baltimore. Hi, Dylan. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Well, let's lay down the basics. Where do you go to school and how much do you owe?
Well, I am a graduate student at Johns Hopkins University, and I am in a school counseling program. I have 9 more credits to graduate this summer, and I currently owe about $70,000 in federal loans. I didn't take any private loans, but then I do owe roughly $20,000 to family members.
Right. And I see from your email you owe some to your dad and also to your aunt.
Yeah. So her loan was for about $16,000, and she gave me an interest rate that is comparable to what she would be getting in a savings account.
I also see from reading your email to us that you deferred grad school for a little while.
Right.
Because you had an amazing job, and I think you were probably the most popular person in America.
Yeah, so I graduated in 2011, and I was hired by Oscar Mayer to drive the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
I feel like we should hear the song.
Exactly.
Oh, I love to be an Oscar Mayer Wiener. That is what I truly like to be.
You drove the Wienermobile around the country.
Nothing like saying that I deferred my graduate studies at Johns Hopkins to drive a hot dog.
Okay, well, what is your question for Betsy?
So my question is, you know, obviously my father, he's a CPA, a certified public accountant, so he knows his way around a dollar. He's gracious enough, or has been gracious enough to this point, to be paying for my cell phone, for, you know, my car insurance. So how would you suggest, do I start budgeting for those types of expenses that right now I'm not paying? And, you know, my job outlook is pretty good. I've had several interviews, and, you know, he tells me he's going to cut me off, like, as soon as I, you know, have a paycheck.
You've had several interviews to be a school counselor and a public
school counselor. Yeah. So The best part is that I have all the student debt, and then I'm helping students in Baltimore complete their financial aid. It's kind of a cycle, isn't it?
That's great.
Ah, okay. Betsy, what do you think?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is wrap your arms around what those expenses are, and whether you do that by doing your own research about what those costs would be in Baltimore, which is what I would suggest. There's a lot of great budgeting calculators online. You know, shameless plug, we have one at our website, saltmoney.org, but there's a million of them out there. So I would start off with one of those budgeting calculators. It will help if you've already accepted the position and know what your income is going to be. And that will help you realize, you know, what expenses you can afford. For example, what level of cell phone service you receive could be affected by, you know, your various expenses versus your salary and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan, you were also asking, what do you pay off first, right?
Yeah, that's the other thing is, you know, do I ask my father to carry the cost of my car lease until I have gotten some of my student loan debt paid?
Well, in this situation, because of the career that you're going into, there's a forgiveness program out there. I don't know if you heard me mention it before, called Public Service Loan Forgiveness. And I think it's very likely you may qualify for this. So because of that, I wouldn't necessarily rush to pay extra towards the student loan debt. The way the program works is that if you work for 10 years in a public service aspect, and that could mean police, that could mean fire, that could mean some teachers, nurses, but also any nonprofit, and you make payments while you're working during that 10-year period, and anything that may be left over is forgiven.
You said some teachers. Would Dylan qualify, though, since he'll be a school counselor?
It would depend on where he was working. If he was a school counselor in a public school, then he would qualify because he was working for a public school. It has more to do with who you're working for versus what your position is. If after 10 years you still owe $100,000, they'll forgive $100,000. There is no limit to the forgiveness amount.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, it really sounds like, Dylan, that you need to get up on the specifics of these programs.
Yeah.
And it might guide your job search, too.
Yeah, and my dad's always he recently emailed me a budget to start using, and, you know, it's still sitting in my email box. So it's probably about time.
It's not going to go away.
Good luck with your loans, and thanks so much for calling in, Dylan.
Thanks, I appreciate your time.
Let's take another call. Nicole is on the line. She's in East Hampton, Massachusetts, and she is the first of her family to graduate from college. And not only that, she's a lawyer. She passed the bar in Massachusetts 4 years ago. Nicole, welcome to the show, and man, well done.
Hello. Thank you very much.
I understand, though, you're in a difficult situation right now financially. Tell us about it.
Correct. I graduated from law school, and I didn't have any work lined up. Boston is notorious for having too many lawyers. So I moved out to Western Mass. I started a solo practice. I got married, and then I had to take a job as a paralegal in order to support my family. So when I was working, I found out I actually have a medical condition that added another $6,000 to my personal debt. And one of the first things I did as an attorney is I filed bankruptcy for myself. But I couldn't get rid of the $250,000 in student debt. It's kind of unreal.
Wow. I'm holding my breath. I'm kind of in shock about that amount of money.
It's totally worth it. I know I've been able to help people since I've graduated, but I can't pay off the loans. I'm in deferment right now, which I have to renew every year.
Okay. Are these private student loans or federal student loans or both?
They're both, but the majority of them is the federal student loan.
Oh, that's great news. So, and are these loans, have any of them ever been in a default status?
Only accidentally they've gone into default for like a month or so. But otherwise, okay. They're all in deferment currently.
Okay, that's great news.
Okay, why? Why is this all great news?
There's a program called income-based repayment under the federal student loan program. And I think this is going to help Nicole be able to manage this debt and also see a light at the end of the tunnel. Income-based repayment, what it does is it makes sure that your payment is no more than 15% of your income minus an allowance for your family size. So there's a chart, if you go into any website that talks about income-based repayment, that tells the different amounts that you can subtract for family size. You subtract that from your income, take 15% of it, and that's going to be what your payment amount is. The payment amount is therefore going to follow your income. If your income drops, your payment amount's going to drop. And after 25 years on this program, any remaining balance is forgiven.
You were talking about family size. Betsy, Nicole, you said you got married?
I did. The unfortunate fact is I got married, and I'm actually getting divorced right now because of some of the financial situations and the fact that I wanted to have children. And I had an argument with my husband that we'd never be able to afford it, much less a house to keep them in or like saving for them to go to college or any of this because of how long it would take me to pay off my debts. I want to try and save so I can have my life happen while I'm paying off my student loans, but I'm very confused. I'm in this holding pattern that I can't do anything with my life other than try and find a job. And when I find a job, I'll still be stuck like this because I'll just be paying off my loans.
Oh, Nicole, I really feel for you. Betsy, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's a bunch of other lower payment options. And I think at this point, it's a matter of finding the one that fits her budget. Have you consolidated your federal student loans yet to extend the term?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good start. There's a plan called graduated repayment where essentially you start off at interest only and then the payment gradually goes up. You may want to look at a calculator to see what that payment would be to see if it's something you could afford now. And then maybe once you've been able to take a chunk out of that extra medical bill, that income-based repayment might be a better fit for you down the road.
Okay.
There's a plan similar to income-based repayment, and they're not very creative with these names, so it can get confusing. Income contingent repayment. The formula for that is very different. It's a little more complicated, but some borrowers actually end up with a lower payment under income contingent repayment than they would under income-based repayment. So you should definitely ask your loan holder about that as well. You want to try to satisfy the interest that's accruing every month, so at least the debt's not getting any bigger.
Do you have any like recommendations for how I should save for like a personal safety net while I'm in deferment?
They always say to pay yourself first, so make sure you've itemized your budget, every single thing. The gas tank, the grocery bill, the iced coffees every morning, that sort of thing. And then figure out how much you can afford to save and just make sure that you pay yourself first.
Right.
Nicole, I wish better times for you, and I can really hear that you're trying.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling in. Oh, Betsy, that is just so sad.
Well, the unfortunate thing, I mean, that large of a student loan debt is actually not as common as some might read in the newspapers. It's been kind of a big story lately. But as we can see with Nicole, it certainly does exist. It's always the same story, is that I want to pay, but here's my situation and how do I handle it? And again, I always go back to just always pick up the phone and call and find out what options are available to you. And don't just think about the next couple months. Try to come up with a plan such as income-based repayment or public service loan forgiveness or graduated repayment that will actually work with you over the next 10 years and grow with your lifestyle.
Well, Nicole is so crunched. I wonder how college-age kids should think about these numbers, what college and graduate school cost, in order to figure out how much student loan debt they can afford to take on.
I get asked all the time, what's the right amount of student debt? And I don't think there's a real answer to that. I think there's too many variables. But if I was forced to make it simple, there's a lot of people that say you should look at what the average starting salary is for the career that you're studying for and try not to borrow more than what that annual salary is.
Well, we have so many more questions, but we'll be coming back to this issue. That's for sure. Betsy Mayotte is the Director of Regulatory Compliance at the nonprofit organization American Student Assistance. And Betsy, thank you so much for the advice today.
Thanks for having me.
And we have a web extra for you. You can find out how bad student debt is in your state. We have debt maps at our website, marketplacemoney.org.